the Lord had given me a word this afternoon, and I will release it. It's not from Scripture. It's what he said. And the words I got was that the Jericho walls were falling. No one will rebuild them back up again. Now is the time to enter through. You have an open door. Just know I am greeting you with joy. So, the Lord wants us to be aware that he greets us with joy when we take time for him and with him. And a lot of times we look at what happens in the past as something dead or past. But if you go back to Joshua and you check out, and I'm not asking you to go there because I think most of you know what happened to Jericho. There is a whole scripture about all the things that had been prepared. The spies were sent. They checked the place out, which identifies a natural connection along with a spiritual connection. And you need both. A lot of times we have some quote-unquote believers that think that the realm of the spirit is so far superior that we don't need the earth, we don't need the natural. And if that were true, Jesus would not have taken on a body. Okay? He was formed the natural way from a spiritual impregnation. But he had a natural body, one like yours and mine. A lot of times, again, we think that the spirit realm is so far superior. It is, because the natural realm has been corrupted. But the plan of the Father is to restore and to recreate. I remember a few weeks ago when there was a word given to one person that was pressed of the Lord tonight to deposit. I believe the word was fine-tuning. And for me, fine-tuning is watching a professional come in and retune a piano, or somebody that's going to retune and make sure that the chords on a guitar function with correct sounds. You see, fine-tuning for us, it starts in the natural, but it also works in the realm of the spirit. And some areas, we want it to be overwhelmed by the spirit, and we want to eliminate the flesh. If that were the case, the Lord would have been just out of whack. Why did he have to enter this realm through his mother's womb? He was looking to redeem the creation that had gone awry. So when we put up walls around ourselves to protect us, just like Jericho did, and if I remember correctly, the walls of Jericho were high enough and wide enough at the top that they could have chariot races on top. Do you ever conceive how wide that is? How thick are your walls? Is the enemy doing some ice skating on top? Or roller skating in the summer? I don't know. What I am saying is You may have done this tonight corporately, but the Holy Spirit may press you to do it again in case they try to come back up. You get the point? There are times that you're going to have your determination tested. And when it happens, you know, don't wait as best you can. Don't wait too long to pull them back down. And if you need to do a physical exercise, do it. You know why? Because that physical exercise of literally pushing those things down into the ground may not mean to you much in the natural when you're doing it. In fact, your brain will say you're wasting your time, it's dumb, it's stupid. But would he really be accusing you if it had no value? So, you know, I've seen myself different time slots where, you know, the pressure was on. And I had a tendency to put the wall back up. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Who is the authority over this body? Who did he leave as authority over this body? Are you not the one that has the authority? Now, if you say, well, I'm going to use this authority flippantly as I please to please myself, well, you're going to make an error. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30 says Jesus never did anything to please himself. So if you're after pleasing yourself, you might find the focus is wrong. If you're sensing that you've put the wall back up because somebody threatened you or whatever, as quickly as you can, Lord, can I pull this down now or do I need to wait for a better time slot? Preferably when you're alone. If you start doing this in the corner of the mall, they might start thinking that you need to be put away for a while. Come on. I am teasing you, but you know we've got people that have done these things because, oh, the pastor said. Not a good choice. Okay? So, what am I after tonight? I'm after you to awaken you to the reality of what you have in front of you. The walls are down. They need to stay down. If you need to stomp on them once in a while, do it. Okay? If the Holy Spirit says, now I want you to call somebody and do something for them, do it. Well, I don't want to bother them. I said, if the Holy Spirit presses you, obey. All right? If I have had victory in helping men and women in growing and maturing in Christ, it's because I learned to obey. But I can't do it for you. And I don't want to. Oh, I want you to pray for me so that I'll feel better. How about praying for yourself? Okay? How about calling someone that you know you can trust and asking for an agreement in prayer? It may help. Humble yourself before the Lord. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Why do we put up the walls to begin with? Anybody got a clue? So we won't get hurt. What else? Fear. Fear, yeah.
To protect ourselves.
Protection, self-protection, right. And you know how much courage it takes to keep that wall down? Because you will be tested. And if you aren't tested, I praise the Lord for you. But if you are, don't be afraid. And even if you have the fear tactics trying, push them down anyway and say, I'm going to do this even if I'm afraid a little bit. or we find I'm afraid a lot. Because I don't want to go back into a shell or a cocoon. He didn't create you to be a turtle. Okay? He created you to fly. So his plan, I truly believe, the season where we have been allowed to suffer for a purpose. I guess we will go to Romans chapter 8. Because there's just a little bit of a press and I don't want to miss. Romans chapter 8. There's one verse that usually most Christians, when they read chapter 8, kind of skip over it. Anybody got a clue what it is? It's verse 17. They all quote Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. They know that one by heart. But verse 17 says, now we are children. Then we are heirs. Christ is indeed, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, if your Bible doesn't have an if there, it might be wise to check it out. Why? If. You can read it in the Amplified. It'll hit you a little harder. Gail, do you have your Amplified? Please read it out.
If we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory.
We must? Why isn't anybody talking about that? Deborah, is it in your Bible too?
The American Standard Version.
Let's hear it.
Chapter 17.
Yeah, verse 17.
And if God, yeah. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify with him.
Same message. Yes.
And I have another translation here.
Go ahead.
It says, God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him.
How clear is that one, huh? So how many of you have been suffering a little bit? Okay. It's part of the deal. It comes with the package of Christianity. Yet, the church doesn't talk about it. Share in his suffering. The fellowship of his suffering. You know, fellowship of his suffering, that's not fun. But it is part of what we go through. Life is not a bowl of cherries. And Jesus didn't have it easy. Oh, you say, well, his family loved him. Baloney. Read John chapter 7 and you'll see his brothers couldn't stand him. If his brothers couldn't stand him, how about your brothers? Or sisters? Or both? Okay, that's the reason why most Christians put up walls. Well, you don't want me to have to put up a wall in the church. Well, gee, are these not your brothers and sisters in Christ? If they're not allowed to make you hard or harden or tested, how are you going to become an overcomer if you never have anything to overcome? You know, and I mean that when I say this, it's not because I want to criticize the believers. It's because they're going to be opinionated, some of them. Uh-huh. They're going to have their own version of what they believe, and you need to respect it. Amen? So what I'm after is trying to remind you that the walls are down. And what we did corporately, I believe, also goes out and touches the ones that are outside. Because we're one church, not two. Okay. He's pushing my buttons to share something else that I wasn't expecting. This morning I was up early and sitting down. I had been praying in the Spirit and just resting before the Lord. And I had a little snap vision. I mean, you know what a snap vision is. It's for 1 second. It's in your head and you see it and it's gone. My mother's sister was very close to my heart, and she went home to be with the Lord several months ago now. And I saw her for a split second sitting in my back porch. And every morning she would meditate before the Lord. And I heard the word today. She has gained in the realm of the Spirit a new level. And tears started to form in my eyes. And I said, Lord, I don't know all the things you do in the heavens. I don't have a clue. But I do know this. If it's anything like on earth, you graduate. You go up. You go up a notch. She's been in the heavens now for April, May, June, July. Figure 4 months. In heaven, it's all now. But the bottom line is, I know that something has changed in that realm for her. Now, why do you think I'm saying that? It's because I do believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that you don't enter heaven with all of your attributes in perfect order. Your character, your way of doing things might need to be tweaked a little, adjusted maybe. And the communion of saints is real. If it wasn't real, we'd have a lot to learn. How many saw the movie Heaven is for Real? Okay. It's real. The young man saw things, saw family members. And he was greeted by the Lord. What I'm after is to give you a concept that you don't stop learning just because you cross over. I do believe that there's consistent learning and revelation continuing on a regular basis, even in the heavens. And that's what I'm after. I'm trying to keep the walls down now so that you'll get as much download from him so that when you do enter, you won't be saying, oh, I wish I would have learned it then. I wish I would have paid attention then. Instead of having my walls up. Okay. Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, you are my counselor. Keep me focused. Keep me growing and maturing. So that I won't lose. I want to be where I was designed to be and ordained to be. Not just here in the earth, but in the heavens as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's it. share some hugs with each other. Okay.